want to go on with the message. We want to go on with the program. Angela's saying, many brethren have written to us saying that I'm studying the Word. I'm doing the Bible course. I'm growing in the Lord. But often I go back and I fall. How can I stay firm and constant in the Lord? And Angela's saying, one thing that we encourage the brethren besides praying and doing the Bible course and reading the Bible, one thing that we are encouraging the brethren is always to go evangelizing, okay? It's not enough to just pray and pray and pray, because afterwards you can get bored. You can get bored and you dry out spiritually. Joseph is saying, it's true. How much can you just take and take and take in without giving out? It's just like in a bottle. If a bottle, you fill it and fill it and fill it, at a certain point, it's just gonna overflow, right? Angela's saying, I know that maybe it doesn't make sense to everybody, this answer about going witnessing to be the answer to your problems. Hey, I have a demon-possessed son. What do I do now? I need to go evangelizing? It might not sound like a clear answer to your problems, but in reality, going evangelizing actually matures you, makes you grow spiritually, and because you grow spiritually, because you evangelized, you know what to do with your son, and you have a stronger connection with Jesus. And then he can guide you in your problems at home and so on. That's why a key is evangelizing. Joseph is saying, you know, some of the toughest moments of my life, I solved them through evangelizing. I went evangelizing. It's like in the Bible it talks about old bottles, you know. Old bottles, you become an old bottle if you don't give out, if you don't go evangelizing. You don't have a fresh connection with Jesus because you don't go evangelizing. That's why you can go into the churches and you go evangelizing in churches and often nothing happens because they're full. They're full. They're full of the old wine and they never gave it out, so there is no hunger for the new word. They don't have the joy of going back home, dead, tired, wiped out. You are squeezed like a lemon all day long evangelizing, and you come home and you just go to Jesus and you get refilled and the word seems fresh to you and you get, revitalized in Jesus. I remember how many times I came back home with my heart crying. I remember many times going out evangelizing with my heart broken, with my heart crying. And after half an hour of evangelizing, I couldn't go on. I stopped and I was crying. And I was reading a little bit of the gospel. And Jesus was always speaking to me and comforting me in those moments. And Jesus was telling me, I am here, you are my son. And even if it was raining or it was cold, even if the wind was blowing, everything was better because Jesus was coming to me and comforting me. And I was reading the Bible a little bit more. And then I was getting up and I was like a new person. And I was going evangelizing. And I had a smile on my face. And I was evangelizing from my heart. I was talking with people from my heart. And I was meeting that wife whose husband was betraying her. And I was speaking to them from my heart, from heart to heart. People feel if you speak from your mind or you speak from your heart. If you speak from your mind, the people can say, oh, how wonderful you are speaking doctrines. But if you speak from your heart and you cry with those that cry, if you are sad with those that are sad, if you speak to them from heart to heart, if you speak from your heart to them, in Proverbs it says, as in water, face answered to water, so the heart of man to man. The person knows if you speak from the heart. And then it's easy. It's easy to evangelize them. And they start believing you. They see your sincerity and they want to try what you have. And then you tell them, my answer is Jesus. I understood he's not a religion or a building. I understood he's not a priest or a pastor. I understood it's only Jesus. And the people get saved. And you gave them a wonderful gift, Jesus, and the devils leave these people. You know, most of the people that I helped get delivered of the devils, you know how I did it? Not screaming and yelling all the time. Most of the time, I just gave them Jesus. Jesus came in and the devils left. Praise the Lord. That's why it's so important to evangelize. Angela's saying, because if we only read the Bible and we meditate, and if we only listen to the radio, but we don't evangelize, after a while you get bored. Oh, I know this message, and I know this message, and I heard that message before. And you start being bored in the spirit, and everything is like old wine. But if you go evangelizing, you come home always hungry, hungry for more of Jesus. Evangelizing is very important, and this is what's happening to the churches today. Everybody is getting bored of the same message being preached every Sunday. Salvation, we know. Now we need to go share the salvation, okay? Joseph is saying, is the usual message in the churches, let's be holy, let's be holy. Jesus doesn't teach us how to be holy only, okay? He teaches us to be like him, and holiness comes from our connection with him, and we are all made holy in his blood. It's not that saint means perfect. Saint means separated and consecrated. Saint doesn't mean sinless. You are saint, separated and consecrated if you receive Jesus in your heart. Saint doesn't mean sinless. Talking about evangelization, which is the second step to be successful for Jesus, talking about another successful way to be for Jesus is evangelization. But how do you evangelize with success? Some brethren wrote to us, oh, I went on the streets and nobody listened to me, and now I'm discouraged. I don't want to go evangelizing anymore. Many brethren wrote to us discouraged about the evangelism, about witnessing and evangelizing. Other brethren just pass out tracts and that's it. They don't say a word, but that's boring. It's boring to just pass out tracts. Better to give one tract to one person than 100 like this on the side of the road. It's like Jesus witnessed to one person, the Samaritan woman or the Samaritan woman in John 4. He evangelized one lady and the whole village got converted. Okay? So personal witnessing, individual witnessing, it's much more fruitful than mass flyering. So the question is, how can we have a successful evangelization? Many brethren wrote to us that it's difficult for them to go on the streets. And they don't have success on the streets, and they don't really know how to evangelize. Also, other brethren wrote that I went on the mission field, but in the years of evangelizing on this mission field, I only gained one soul to Jesus. I have lots of success with the poor because I give them also food. I give them food, and the poor listen. But that's all. They just listen, and there's no future further results. Joseph is saying, yeah, it's very easy to evangelize to poor people because you give them material things, and they listen to you, so that you seem that you have success, but not necessarily. This happened to me in India often. They are very, very listening in India. I had to learn in India that everybody seems sheep of the Lord, but they were superficial. a month and a half it took me to understand this. I was going around in circles for a month and a half until finally I understood what to do. The system that I learned is that to go right away with Jesus about the salvation, not to give always food and drink their tea that they offer me, and then I don't end up far. I don't end up far because I drink their tea and they receive my clothes, which I distribute them. And then right away they receive Jesus because you gave them some food and clothes. You coming from the West, whom people hardly even want to stop to listen to you, you go over there and people right away pray to receive Jesus with you, you think, wow, I'm in paradise. But it's not like that. That's just superficiality. It's superficiality to do that. It's easy. You give them food and you give them a coin. Right away, they'll do whatever you want them to do. If it's to pray to receive Jesus, they'll do it right away. They'll pray to receive Jesus, but that doesn't mean they really got saved. They did it because you gave them food. I saw in India sometimes missionaries that came, but they didn't have much success. They didn't evangelize and convert many people. And concerning this, I want to give a message today. How to evangelize and reach the leaders. Evangelizing, reaching the leaders, it's called the message. I want to tell you what the apostles did, okay? Let's see the strategy of the apostles and see how they did it. Let's read Acts 13, 4 through 7. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. So they went to the synagogues. It's like you going to preach to churches, right? But they didn't stay in synagogues. Most probably the Jews were not really receptive. So because they were not receptive, what did they do? They went on. The disciples went on. Verse 6. And when they had gone through the island unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose surname was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man. So the deputy of the country. So the disciples, the apostles, went to find the deputy, the proconsul. Verse 7, who called for Barnabas, this deputy called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. So next to the deputy was the sorcerer. It's like the spirit of the island. And he was influencing the deputy, and the devil like this was trying to control the island. So this sorcerer was trying to influence the deputy and to control him. So, this is a strategy which I want to give to you who want to evangelize. So Paul didn't go looking for beggars and poor people who wanted food only. He went all the way to the deputy of the country. And that's why, you know, that Cyprus was the first Christian nations in Europe. He evangelized the top, and like that the whole island got converted. Don't go evangelize. Don't go and evangelize just that poor guy under the bridge. Yeah, give him a coin. Give him a coin and pray for him. Yes, but evangelize the leaders. You know, I want to tell you that the way that Jesus taught me to evangelize is for me to reach the leaders. For me to reach the leaders, so these leaders, university students, or any kind of top people, because if you reach them, they will reach others, okay? They will reach others. That's why I always gave precedence to evangelize people who had the potential to reach other people, okay? For example, you, Angela, you are a demonstration of this. I thought I reached university students. I concentrated to evangelize to people who have a desire to do something, who have a desire to do something, so then afterwards they can reach others. You don't just reach people who are always complaining and are sleeping under the bridge and they don't do anything with their life, and then they will not reach anybody else. So God always guided me to reach people who can put in practice the word. What kind of a word putting in practice? This word. Let's read. 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things which you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So yes, you give a sandwich, love, a coin to everybody, yes. But the time, the concentration, you give it to people who are faithful. You give it to people who are faithful to help others as well. Before I invest a bunch of time into somebody, I always want to ask the Lord, Lord Jesus, is this person worth it, my time to invest in? Will he be a faithful man who can teach others also? Jesus two times only fed bread and fish, okay? Jesus only two times gave food and fish. That's it. He rebuked them. He said, you come after me just because you saw the miracles and you ate bread and fish. That's why you come to me right now, Jesus told them. In John 6, he told them, you search me for the miracles. And then John 6:66, because he rebuked them, Jesus rebuked them, and then afterwards they left him, many people left him. And then Jesus turned to his disciples, and the 70 disciples left him. Jesus turned to the 12 afterwards, and then he told them, are you also going to go away? Jesus was not worried at all, like some of the pastors and leaders would be worried today if half of their congregation would leave. Jesus didn't worry. Jesus was not worried, and neither God was worried with Moses in the wilderness. He told Moses, turn aside, let me kill them all, after they did the calf in the wilderness. Let me kill them all, and out of you I'll make a great nation. So God was not worried, neither Jesus was worried. So if when you evangelize, ask yourself this question, 2 Timothy 2:2. This person that I am evangelizing and following up on every day, is he worth me to invest in him? Is he a faithful man to teach others? So the secret to have a successful evangelization is to reach those people who are able to teach others also. Just like 2 Timothy 2:2, that's the key. What's the example of Jesus? Let's go to Matthew 4. Jesus didn't choose 12 beggars who needed food all the time. Jesus didn't choose 12 paralyzed people. He didn't tell them, let's go conquer the world like this. Jesus chose 12 workers, okay? They were all workers. Matthew 4, 18 through 23. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they followed him, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all over Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Matthew 10:3. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Labias, whose surname was Thaddeus. So what it seems to me, the few times that the Bible tells us what they were, what the disciples were, Matthew was a publican. He knew how to read and write. They were already leaders in something. They were workers. They were workers. John and his brother and so on. So they were leaders. They were workers. They were leaders in their field. Matthew knew how to read and write. He was a publican, tax collector. So Jesus went to look for leaders. So find people who are leaders, okay, who can help others. Yes, we have to evangelize everybody, of course. God loves everybody, including the poor. And when we can help them with a coin and with a prayer of salvation, and with a sandwich, of course you should do it. But that doesn't mean that I will concentrate on one who's not potential to be a leader. If you have time, of course, pray with them to receive Jesus. Pray with them to receive Jesus when you can, of course. God loves everybody. It's not that he's a racist. It's not that God is a racist. Don't come and tell me that I cannot, that you cannot evangelize to the beggars. Yes, you can evangelize them. It's not a problem. God is not a racist. He doesn't distinguish between classes. And it's not that the poor is worse or better than the rich. No. It's written the following. Matthew 19, the last will be first and the first will be last. Many last, poor, maybe will be first, and maybe first bunch of university people, maybe will be last. James 5:1-3. Go to now, ye rich man, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. I'm reading this so for you to know that it's not that God is against the poor people. No, not at all. God is not against the poor. Verse 2, your riches are corrupted and your garments are moulded. Your gold and silver is scankered, and the rest of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. God is not against poor. Of course, if you meet a poor person who wants to forget his poverty, he wants to forsake his poverty and he wants to go on for Jesus and he wants to go and find a job and he wants to get out of his mess, of course, help him. Go and give him a New Testament and see if he changes, see if you will give fruits. Tell him, look, here is my phone number, and tell me how you're doing. Tell me how you're doing if you are getting out of your mess and your poverty, and if you see that he's doing some steps in getting out of his poverty, then of course invest in him and help him to the end. So if this poor person wants to change, then it's good. He needs to show you his deeds. He needs to show you the fruits. This poor guy needs to start giving also. Okay, he cannot be just receiving. He needs to change and start giving. Because to say, give me, it's very easy. But he needs to start giving, not just receiving. So basically, a conclusion is that it doesn't matter if you're poor or rich. It's not that God is against you because you're poor, or he's against you for sure because you're rich. No. What's important is that when you evangelize somebody, whether he's poor or rich, you see his potentiality. You see his potentiality if he's willing to grow, go on for Jesus, evangelize others. willing to be a disciple for the Lord, and then you invest in that person. This is the point. It's not that God is racist or partial. No. But God looks at the heart to see if you have potential to grow on for the Lord and teach others to teach others. Another verse that comes to me, it's when Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things. Somebody who's just sitting on a bench and begging all day long, he doesn't, unless he wants to get out of his poverty and go and reach the world, he's not going to be a disciple for Jesus. So Jesus teaches us to go and make disciples, whoever is potential to grow into this. That's what's important, to concentrate on that and invest time into that, into a person who's willing to grow on for the Lord, to be a disciple for Jesus and to observe everything that Jesus told us to do. Observe all his precepts. Amen. Lord, help us. Let's go on with the message. If we say that we are disciples, evangelists and guides for the Lord to guide others to Jesus, then we must be faithful how we invest our time. You know, the time we have is a talent we have. So we have to be careful to search for and reach the right people. Yes, evangelize. How? But how? When? And to who? Be careful. It's important to do the way Jesus did. When you don't know what to do, I have a advice for you. Go to the gospel and see how Jesus did it. Learn from Jesus. Learn from how the boss did it. Jesus and his disciples, they were not following up on anyone who was not potential to be a worker for the gospel. Somebody who showed right away potentiality and initiative to evangelize, and his obedience, he showed it right away. He showed interest in growing in the word, and he started giving the gospel to others. Into that, Jesus and the disciples were investing. You know, the evangelists are not just social workers, okay? Be careful at quotes, brethren, who come to you all the time to pray with you, but they are just looking for food. They come to you to pray with you, but just because they need your sandwich. You know, many missions today, instead of expanding, they died. Why? Because they had the wrong strategy. The strategy was not according to the sample of Jesus. Even we, brethren, let's try not to die, okay? Let's try not to die also and to just become social workers, okay? Often the devil also disguises himself just as a beggar. The devil disguises himself as a beggar sometimes and gives us makes us go on the wrong road and have the wrong strategy. Concentrate on the poor and just become social workers and that's it. Then we don't evangelize anymore. There are many missions who their whole mission is just to help the poor with money and with food and so on. It's fine. It's wonderful to do that. Let it be a part of your mission. But if you help everybody only in the flesh, but you don't create guides also to guide others, if you don't train disciples, who will perpetuate the gospel? Who will give others to give others? You know the Salvation Army religion? These days, this Salvation Army religion, it became today just a social work religion. They just give things to the flesh, but nothing for the spirit. Nothing for the spirit. The way to help the poor is not to give them fish, but teach them how to fish, okay? I want to tell you in our case, says Angela, we often help people we often help poor families or institutions, but besides this, the most important work we have, and that's the one that's propagating, is the mission the Lord given us through the radio and through the Bible course or the brethren who are here in the area. We are instructing you how to be disciples, and then you, in your place, you are reaching other people. Through the Bible course, we saw many of you becoming disciples, and now you are evangelizing. So now our fruit through this is more powerful than just going to a few poor families and giving them bread and food. Yes, it's wonderful to do that too. But you can see the blessing of the Lord in teaching disciples, because if you teach disciples, they will teach others, and then the gospel goes to places where we could never reach. You, brethren, are through the message you heard from us, and you grew and you became a disciple. Now you are going and evangelizing others in places where we would never go physically. It's a wonderful thing the Lord is doing. Conclusion? I think it was very clear, the message. So, conclusion, invest your precious time of evangelization in the people who receive, who study the word, who preach it, and who show the word with the fruit in their lives, okay? To them, give your time. To the others, give some love, give a sandwich, no problem. Jesus, two times he gave a sandwich of bread and fish. He didn't go every day distributing food. No, he taught people how to work. A coin you give to everybody, it's a good example. But the precious talent that we have, the time of our temple, of our body, that talent of our time is consecrated to Jesus. Don't give your time to beggars. You give him a sandwich, you give him a coin, and here is a track, here is my address, and write to me. Oh, well, to be able to write to you, I need to go buy a stamp, so I need more money. Give me money to go buy a stamp so I can write to you. No. You go and find a work, cleaning windows, and you will find more money for your stamp. So, the time you give it to who is worthy. Okay? We need to give it to those who are able to teach others the gospel. For to them we give our time. The Lord will guide us to the right people, okay? If we search, we will find. This is the way Jesus worked. He gave bread and fish to the poor, but the time of Jesus was reserved to train workers of the gospel, the apostles. That's why the gospel came all the way to us. Because the disciples were trained by Jesus. So the time is used to train disciples. Our time is used to teach others, to make guides for others, to teach others how to do miraculous healing and so on. What do they do in the medical schools? Besides helping poor here and there, but the main thing, what do? They are training doctors. What do they do in the army? Do they give food to the families? No, they are training the officials. They are training the sergeants. They are training soldiers. For the world of today, we need people like Jesus that can give salvation and train others to give salvation. Yes, you can give them a sandwich to take away their hunger, but tomorrow they'll be hungry again. But if you give them the bread of life, they'll be saved forever. Let's read one more scripture before we close. Ezra 7:25, and you, Ezra, after the wisdom of your God that is in your hand, set magistrates and judges which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of God, and teach them that know them not. Ezra 7:25. The first thing you need to give people is the word of God to people who can understand and know the laws of God and of Christ. So these people, knowing Christ, they can teach others to know Christ, those who don't know Him. But after you've satisfied $1,000 to every poor person and you gave a house to everybody, they will continue to follow the devil and the money, and they will not follow Jesus. They will follow the materialism. And maybe in a few weeks, when the $1,000 are finished, they will go back to be beggars on the same bench. The drug addict to the same drugs. The husband will continue to beat up the wife, and so on, because you just gave him material things. You didn't change his heart. The selfish will go back to his selfishness, and the churches will go back to their hypocrisy, and nothing will change with your $1,000. God doesn't love all the poor. Yes, He loves them, but why doesn't give them the food? Why doesn't He give them food? Because it's not good for anything to give food only. Jesus gave food to 5,000 people. Did they start preaching the gospel? Nothing. Where were they, the 5,000, when Jesus was being crucified? Where were they to defend Jesus after they ate all the sandwich? After they ate the sandwich, where were they there to defend Jesus when He was being crucified? They were just looking for another sandwich. They were looking for another sandwich. They were not there in the spirit next to Jesus. Titus 1, 5 through 9. For this cause, Titus 1, 5 through 9. With this we're going to close. And I hope you learned this lesson. Search for the leaders, okay? Search for the leaders. We wouldn't have the fellowship that we have today and the work we have today in the Lord and the ministry we have today if God wouldn't have guided me to train leaders. We don't have a community of beggars who only think about the food, or community of bellyachers. Oh, in the other community, they were giving sausages, and here there is only soup. They only think about their belly. Our community is made of leaders. It's not scriptural to live on social help, okay? Those of you who live on the back of the government, it's not scriptural because the Bible says to work for your food. Why do you eat from the government, Antichrist government, but you do nothing, you do no work? What does the government give you? Just the minimum necessarily to survive. In Argentina, they have a big movement to help the poor. It's like socialism. You know, socialism is destroying people. They are telling me that in Argentina, give money, so the people don't work. They take the money from the government, but this generates a bunch of crime. You know why? Because the government gives them the minimum necessary to eat, but the government doesn't give them money to buy a new phone. So for them to buy a new phone, they have to go and steal so they can buy the new phone. That's why the crime raised in Argentina. You need to teach people to catch fish, okay? Angela says the problem is that some people choose to live like that. Angela is intervening and he's saying, you know what? If somebody is laid off from work and he's on social work for a while until he gets any other job, that's not a problem. I'm not talking about that. We are not talking about that. But we're talking about people who choose to live like that because they don't want to work. That's the problem. Dearest brethren, Joseph says, I want to teach you, though, that you need to learn to live by faith. Mark of the Beast is coming, and you need to learn to live by faith. You cannot be, with the Mark of the Beast, you cannot be dependent on the government to give you food anymore, okay? You need to get out of this right away, social existence. So what's important is that you learn to live for the Lord, so one day you will not be dependent on the government to give you the social help, and then for that you need a mark of the beast. So get out of that principle right now. Get out of the mentality right now. Let's read Titus 1:5-9. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. And if any... 9, let's go to 9. Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both exhort and convince the gainsayers. So make a difference. The poor guy who wants to get out of it, okay, he wants to get out of it and he wants to look for a job, and then you help him because he wants to get out of it. And then you, the poor who doesn't want to change and he wants to stay always on the bench. So Paul is telling Titus here, I left you in Crete so you can ordain elders. You can ordain elders in every city. What kind of elders? Elders who hold fast the faithful word, and that they are able, by sound doctrine, to exhort and convince others. So that's very important. It's very important for you to train other people, basically. Leave elders wherever you are. Teach others to teach others. Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Who's able to do this? Not one who is dependent on your coin every day, but one who, yes, once upon a time he received the sandwich, but the second time he went to work to gain his sandwich, and he got up from his bench, and he became a guide for Jesus. So concentrate yourself on the guides, those who can become disciples and evangelists. Otherwise, you will lose your, you will waste your life, you will waste your time, and then in a few years you will find out that you are left with nothing in your hands. You will have nobody. You will have nobody to advance the kingdom of God. You're just going to have a bunch of clients coming to you for a sandwich. I finished a message. Brethren, write to me. Tell me your comments, your impressions. I wait for your emails. God bless you. I love you. Amen. A big hug and a kiss.